1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298 DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show as Butchie, the Badgers shoot nearly 58% from the field in the second half, 8 of 15 from the three-point line. And, you know, we talked about this. Minnesota can hang in there, particularly on the home floor, for a half and then some. Well, the second half early, Wisconsin really took command, didn't
they? Well, and that's what it was. I think you look at the ball move, pace. We talked a lot. They need to play fast, and they need to play with pace. And the pace is what really picked up in that second half. Ball moved multiple sides of the floor. And it, what happens is that it allowed or forced Minnesota's bigs to come up and have to guard more. That's why you were seeing some rolls to the basket. You were seeing some more spacing. You were seeing some more looks. Because of that, what happened is the bigs rolled to the rim. Now Minnesota's defense collapsed. There's one, two, three passes. Extra passes were made. And I think that's why you looked at how they got themselves going.
Wisconsin with 14 assists in the game. Minnesota just 9. And Minnesota, for not being a really high-scoring team, is a high assist
team. Well, they
move
the ball. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, they're 10th in the country as far as assist rate goes at 64%. So 64% of the time, their made basket is ending with an assist. And Wisconsin only held them to 9.
Yep, 9 assists on 22 buckets here tonight as Wisconsin defeats Minnesota 80-59. More of our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show is coming up with Butchie's Breakdown back in a couple of minutes. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
I'm Sawyer.
And I'm Shannon. Together, we're Twin Stunts, the only twin motorcycle freestyle show in the world. We are born and raised in Wisconsin, so we want all our fellow cheeseheads to know that even though we clutch it up, hit 12, and drift in our show, we would never do it on the open road. And there's another thing we would never do on the road. Drive drunk, drive sober, or get pulled over. Together, we can save lives. Learn more at zeroinwisconsin.gov. Wisconsin DOT.
To be a Badger, it takes dedication, perseverance, and an unstoppable drive for excellence. Our team at UW Health Sports Medicine is no different. We bring the same fierce Badger spirit to every surgery, therapy, and training, working tirelessly to keep Wisconsin's athletes at the top of their game. Whether it's nailing the game-winning shot or delivering top-tier care, UW Madison and UW Health are a dream team committed to achieving greatness. Together, we don't just deliver, we dominate. UW Health. Remarkable.
At U.S. Bank, when they say they're in it with you, they mean it. Not just for the good stuff, the grand openings and celebrations, although those are pretty great, but for all the hard work it took to get there, the fine-tuning of goals, the managing of cash and workflows and decision-making. They're in to help you through all of it, because together they're proving day in and day out that there is nothing as powerful as the power of us. Visit usbank.com to get started today. Equal housing lender, member FDIC, copyright 2024, U.S. Bank.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burger, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way, you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Hey Badger fans, basketball season is here and SeatGeek is here to help you experience all the action. SeatGeek makes it easy to find tickets so you can be a part of all the courtside celebrations this season. Whether you're buying or selling tickets to Wisconsin basketball games or to any other live event in your area, SeatGeek is the place to do it. SeatGeek is the official ticket marketplace of the Wisconsin Badgers. The most disruptive idea in ticketing? A ticket that works. Expect the expected. SeatGeek.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
We continue with our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show as the Badgers defeat Minnesota 80-59. Stephen Crow, 18 points. John Tanjay, 16. Kamari McGee in his first Badger start ends up with a Badger scoring high of 15 points. Not his overall career high, but his year at Green Bay, he put 24 on Wright State. That was back in February of 2022. Time for Butchie's breakdown. What you have for us tonight?
Well, the first number I'm going to talk about is offense rebounds, right? I mean, of course. I mean, it's just no, again, but the first number is 15 forced turnovers. Mm-hmm. This is a Minnesota team that only turns the ball over 9.9 times a game. Wisconsin forced 15 of them. Now, they all weren't, you know, some were careless turnovers by Minnesota, but I thought Wisconsin did a pretty good job of getting there, forcing turnovers, which slowed Minnesota down a little bit. The other thing that I look at as far as areas that they did a good job, we talked briefly about it, but 14 assists on 25 made field goals. The ball's moving a lot. And then overall, you look at how they have come in, and I know Minnesota outscores them with 18 bench points, but I thought the 14 bench points with Max Klesman out were really important. Now, I saw that as bench points, but you look at just the contributions from Amos, from Janicki, from Ilver, like Gilmore, even though, you know, Carter had a quiet day points-wise, I just thought he brought good energy in the quick 7 minutes he played. You know, you normally have Kamari McGee coming off of the bench. Mm-hmm. You didn't have that. So what were they going to do? And I thought that number, even though, like I said, Minnesota scores a lot of it was late in this game as far as why that number, but I thought they did a really good job, the bench did.
Yeah, they really did tonight. And that was one of the questions that you had asked with Kamari starting. Where was that going to come from? Yeah. It came from a variety of sources. It was interesting, you know, even in training camp, put Kamari in the starting lineup, and they really just like him off the bench.
Yeah.
And that's worked. And then, you know, credit to Kamari as he just continues to just, yeah, I keep saying spark. He's so much more than that. He is the spark, but he's a very, very productive all-around player. It's interesting, Brian, you know, talking with Greg this week, like early in his time, he was playing too fast for his own good, turning
for
the ball
sure.
over. And now just with maturity, the developmental aspect of this program really paying dividends here with Kamari.
Have you ever seen a guy increase his shooting percentage as much as Kamari McGee is this year? I mean, I'm going to put this nicely. Not that you've been doing this a long time.
I've been doing it a long time.
But maybe you've been doing this a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever seen a jump like that?
It's hard to imagine.
I'm putting you on the spot there. You know, but
there was always a couple of guys, we used to talk about this all the time, and this is an opponent talking about, like a guy like at Purdue, Konzo Martin. First couple of years, he couldn't make a three if he tried.
Okay, yeah.
Then he became a really good three-point shooter. Kaminsky comes to mind after his first couple of years,
okay. But
that was as an overall player. But with Kamari McGee, to your point, again, at the risk of rattling off too many numbers here, as a three-point shooter at Green Bay the year he was there, 27%. First year at Wisconsin, he was 5 for 27.
Yeah.
The next year, 3 for 11. And now this year, with tonight's game in the bag, he is 19 of 33 from
the percentage.
That's mind-boggling.
I guess that's my thing because, mm-hmm. I'll be honest, like, a couple of shots he took early in the year. I'm like, well, defensively, that's what you want.
Yeah, sure.
Like, that's what you want. No longer can you say that.
No.
Like, you can't, as scouting report now, when every team, like on Ohio State's next Tuesday, shooter.
Yeah.
He'll be labeled as a shooter. Like, you can't not label him as a non-shooter now. And I think that just, the reason I bring it up is, in a roundabout way, I can't give enough credit to him because he's turned himself into that.
Yeah, it's fun to watch. It really is.
Like, and those are the guys you want to cheer for, but those are also the guys that Greg wants to go recruit and bring in, whether it's NIL guys, you know, or, I mean, transfer guys, portal guys, whether it's, you know, freshmen. Like, it just – Kamari McGee is a great example of what Wisconsin basketball is built on.
Yeah.
Guys that want to be here, guys that just want to get better, and don't care about their roles, and will find a role for themselves.
Plays with great joy, has
right?
leadership to him, makes sure everybody, you know, just in the dead balls, you're huddling, and he's going to get that organized.
Yeah,
if the body language isn't right, he's going to go over there right away and to, hey, let's go. Let's,
and so, that's not a homer, like that's not a homer response here.
No.
Like, I've caught a lot. I've watched a lot of college basketball.
Yeah.
I cover a lot of college basketball. Like, but that's what makes Wisconsin different is a guy like Kamari McGee and just understanding, like, he just wants to be here. Max Klusman fits that role as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they just want to be here.
And they are playing at a very high level right now. The Badgers 13-3 overall, 3-2 in Big Ten play. When we continue, we'll take a glance at the Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. This is Badger basketball from Learfield.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Forrester and the Ad Council.
Postgame coverage continues as Wisconsin takes down Minnesota tonight, 80-59. A glance at our Nissan out-of-town scoreboard. They're at the half in College Park with Maryland leading UCLA 40-36. So if the Bruins lose that game, does Mick Cronin make them walk to the next game?
Well, that's a long walk.
It's a long
Where
walk.
Are they? Where are they next? It's a good question.
Let me check
Not
that.
To put you on the spot there.
Oh,
I think they're Rutgers. They play Rutgers.
You sure?
I'm about 99% sure on that.
You're not really sure.
So, I'm 99% sure. UCLA. Where did UCLA
they actually,
play?
They're home.
You're looking at Maryland. Come on.
I was telling you, they're going to Rutgers.
Yes. I'm not a big dummy. I know what's going on. I do follow this league a little bit.
Have to walk there and then walk back to LA.
Yeah, I might do that.
So,
okay. I mean, I do follow this league. I do know what is up.
Are you sure?
I do.
Sure? All right. Good for you. By the way, they're late.
It kind of is my job.
They're late to the – yeah, well.
I mean, it's kind of our job to do that.
You're a highly trained professional.
Highly trained. Highly trained.
They're near the end of the first half at the Cotton Bowl. It's 7-0. Ohio State leads Texas, but Texas – is in the red zone with about half a minute left in the first half. So the Longhorns with a chance maybe to tie that semifinal, and they just scored, we are told. So Notre Dame awaits the winner.
Can I get a call of the red zone? What is the red zone? When the Badgers get in the red zone?
The 20 and in.
Oh, okay. I thought it was sponsored.
It is sponsored.
No, I thought it was sponsored. That's what I'm saying. Oh, yeah. I want this, whatever you spot.
Yeah, that's the Case IH red zone.
Thank you. That's what I was. I was waiting to hear it.
Wow.
I wanted to get it in. I was just trying to give a plug here.
I mean,
just because you sponsor, Badger football doesn't mean you can't get a plug during Badger basketball occasionally.
I figure as close as you listen to all of our football broadcasts, you'd just be all over that.
Well, I could. I'm going to be quiet.
You're busy. Yeah, you're busy. Yeah, you're show prepping. I got it. So.
Was there? I'm not saying it. Were there a lot of red zone opportunities this year?
It could have been more. It's all right.
We're working on it. All right. As always, we're working on it.
This is called a filibuster because Greg Gard is making
now
his way over
filibuster.
Here. Mercifully.
I got myself in trouble. Yeah. But
mercifully,
we're
the head coach is here.
Yes.
80-59, Wisconsin a winner over Minnesota tonight. You got to get this thing over with. But John Blackwell is up with 9 points, 8 for Nolan Winter, 6 for Marcus Silver, hitting a couple of threes. Jack Janicki with 4. Xavier Amos with 4 points as well. Dawson Garcia with 22, leading the way for Minnesota. He was their lone double-figure scorer as we are now joined courtside by the Badgers head coach. Greg Butchie was wondering during the game with Kamari McGee in the lineup with Max Klusman not playing tonight. Where was the bench strength going to come from tonight? Because Kamari is so good off the bench. Mm-hmm. He's not bad in the starting lineup either.
No, he was pretty good in the starting lineup. And I wondered about that myself. I debated who do I put just because Kamari's been so good in, in that role of coming off the bench. So, but he's earned the opportunity to start when, you know, we knew that Max wasn't going to be able to go. He, you know, he warmed up and I felt maybe in an emergency he could go. But and then the guy we had ready to kind of roll behind him, Cam Hunter, sprains his ankle in the workout this afternoon. So, you know, when it rains, it pours. But
so now they'll tape during workouts from now on.
Yeah, right? I mean, it's, you know, we've done 10,000 of them.
Exactly, right? It's just,
yeah, well, actually, Brian, we don't tape anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
okay,
yeah, there's a new science has evolved.
There is, yeah, I know, right.
You know, back
just
when,
means I'm old now.
Yes,
all.
True.
Yeah.
You know, and Gilmore's battling the flu. He spent all night up with his head over a toilet. And I thought, you know, he looked like he was, you know, a little green. But I give him credit for gutting it out, no pun intended. You know, so other guys just have to step up. Xavier got 22 minutes. That was good. Janicki did some good things once he got settled in. Marcus Ilver comes in and bangs shots just like what he did in practice. And so, yeah, I mean, a good team win. I thought we did a good job on Mitchell, a good job at times on Garcia when he started putting the ball on the floor. You know, we got better in the defensive on the defensive glass in the second half, and then obviously make shots. That'll get separation, and that's what happened.
Okay, since you brought up Mitchell, I know you're talking about Mitchell Jr., but I'm going to talk about the play with Big Steve and Frank Mitchell.
Right.
Because Big Steve just threw him to the side. Yeah. I said this. Matt couldn't talk about the game anymore because I said that might be the first time that I've seen Steve take a guy, throw him to the ground, get the ball, and go explode. Like, I was so jacked up about it because it's that neck. Like, and I said it to Matt. I said, Matt, I just think he's realizing these are the last games he's going to play in a Badger jersey.
Right.
And you've seen it how many times where it clicks. Like, guys just understand, like, I only have so many more of these opportunities.
Right.
And I'm not going to waste them anymore.
Right.
And it just – he was
we've
so
seen
aggressive.
It in spurts. Yeah, we've seen it in spurts over his career, really, over the last 3 years. I mean, when he's aggressive, he's really good. But, you know, like I said, aggressive Steve doesn't always show up every night.
It has since Butler.
It has.
Absolutely.
And I think the subbing has helped him.
Yep.
He knows you got to empty the tank here in the first 3 minutes. And Gilmore knows when we get near 17 and I give him that look, he goes. I know that he was a little reluctant tonight. He kind of waddled to the scores table going, man, okay, I'm going to give this a try. But Steve was, I told him in front of the team, he was a grown man in there tonight, and that was great to see.
We always talk about things that in the big picture can be forgotten by many, but Butchie and I were talking about going back to that Butler game because Stevie, it had been a struggle. And then, like, you guys were feeding him the ball, like, right from the get-go. That's like – great for him for finishing, but also for you guys saying, hey, we need you. And that maybe was a really important part for him here moving forward.
Yeah, I think, you know, it wasn't a kind conversation after the Illinois game. It was pretty direct. And, you know, he's a grown man. He can handle what I had to say in front of everybody. And it was the truth. I mean, he just needed to, and I think just realize the clock is ticking. As you mentioned, Brian, you gotta get so many, you're here, so many more jump balls left, more tip-offs left. So let's make the most of them. And he's taking that to heart.
But I also think the ability of you guys to get after players and coach, because we know where kids are. Like, it's not everybody wants to be coached anymore. But then to do that and then believe in them and say, no, we're still going to you. Like, here's the ball.
Yeah.
Like, we believe in everything you're doing.
These guys know got their back. And,
they have each other's back.
I may blowtorch them a little bit at times, but they know. They know at the end of the day, I'm right with them. So, and they know they can play at a really high level. I think the biggest thing is they're the first ones to know when they don't hit expectations before, or when they make something goes wrong or right on the floor. It was great to see the team just mob Marcus after he made a couple threes, because it just shows the connectivity of this group and how they keep picking each other up.
You've been doing this a long time. When do you know you got a special locker room? Because it's starting to look like you got guys that are playing for each other, that they're unselfish, and you got a lot of really good players, but it doesn't matter whose night it is.
Right. And
they're making the right play no matter what.
And we're getting better. As time goes on, we're getting better. You know, I think defensively the second half we did a really good job. You know, that's a team that put up 88 the other night. I guess I know double overtime, but still we were able to get separation and really – put the clamps down and get going and transition. And I've noticed that even this summer, Brian, that I could tell. And that's always the concern when you bring any year. But specifically in this era when you have portal acquisitions, so to speak, there's a lot of new faces coming from a lot of different places. They're not all coming from high school. And how they're able to connect with each other and put their ego aside. And that's a credit to our staff who, when we were in the recruiting process, really vetted that stuff. Like, you know, we even have a personality test we take people through just to get understand what their motives are, what drives them, what fuels them, what are their goals and things. And it really is telling. And this group up and down the lineup is a really connected, unselfish group.
Yeah, that's what the veteran guys here, they say that almost unsolicited about the guys who come in. You obviously want productive players. Mm-hmm. These are pretty good dudes.
Absolutely.
And they fit in.
Yes.
It's huge.
Because if they're not, then the toxicity starts to creep mm-hmm. in. If somebody's selfish or lets their ego get in the way, wanting theirs, mm-hmm. so to speak. And, I mean, the great example of that is John Tanjay. I mean, that's here he is, sixth year. He could come in with all the answers and no questions. He's the other way around. Like, he wants to be coached. And I think it's he's learning a lot and things that he can continue to get better at. And I thought, you know, second half, I thought he was pretty good. He really got to the line and was attacking. Yeah. And, you know, just that's where the sixth year of experience, the grown man strength showed in the second half.
Well, maybe one day we'll have Butchie take that personality test just for
good. I don't want me to take that. No.
I'll give
taking enough tests.
I'll give it to your wife. I'll give the results to your wife.
Well, you don't want to. I'm happily married, all right? I'm
good. See if she,
I want to stay
we'll see
happily
if
married.
She calls out. It's really accurate.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
We've got to get rid of that test, Cody. Yeah. I want to stay happily married.
Appreciate it. Congratulations.
Right. Thanks,
we'll talk to you Tuesday. Badgers head coach Greg Card joining us. It's a sport. We just like to bust your chops.
I mean, everywhere I go. I mean, we were in New Jersey. People were making fun of me. I mean, it's all right.
Yeah, wait for that trip next week. Wisconsin a winner, 80-59 over Minnesota. We'll take another break. Our post-game coverage, our Wisconsin Ford Dealers post-game show continues. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Join the Wisconsin Department of Corrections and make a positive impact on lives across the state. Enjoy an excellent state benefits package and a nationally ranked pension program. The Wisconsin DOC is hiring social workers starting at $30 per hour, providing counseling and programming services, including substance use disorder programming to those in our care. To learn more and to apply, go to wisc.jobs. That's WISC.jobs.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist. End the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Famous Wurstmacher's Bob and Tony in the Smokehouse.
Beef, summer sausage, and salami. And because they're from Usinger's, you know they're the best. Made with all lean beef and imported spices, cured and smoked the old world way. Because quality has been Usinger's number one ingredient for more than a century.
Ah.
Made right here in Milwaukee since 1880. Usinger's, America's finest Worcester.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah, you bet.
Are you seeking a better career? Rail Transport offers truck drivers a variety of driving jobs earning top wages. No CDL? No problem. Get paid to get your CDL with Rail's on-the-job paid training program. We're also seeking top talent for driver and customer support positions. To see all the career opportunities at Rail and how you can take home more and be home more, visit rail.jobs. That's rail.jobs. Rail Transport is a proud sponsor of the Badgers.
An elegant, intimate experience in fine dining is right here at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge features choice cuts of Angus beef and fresh seafood prepared to perfection over an open flame grill, complemented by an extensive selection of fine wines and signature martinis. A passion for detail in exceptional dining. The Copper Oak Steakhouse and Lounge at Ho-Chunk Gaming, Wisconsin Dells. Open Thursday through Sunday. Call and make your reservations today.
Wisconsin is home to some of the best educators in the country. The Outstanding Educator Program is brought to you by WEA Member Benefits, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Throughout the season, we are honoring incredible educators who go above and beyond for their students and communities. Do you know an educator who deserves the spotlight? Nominate them today at uwbadgers.com/outstandingeducator. That's uwbadgers.com/outstandingeducator. Because great educators make Wisconsin proud.
Our Wisconsin Ford Dealers postgame show continues. Badgers 80, Minnesota 59. Up next, Ohio State's Jake Diebler's Buckeyes will come to town. They're 2-3 in the league, 10-6 overall. As we mentioned during the game here tonight, they let one slip away last night on the home floor to Oregon. Interesting mix there. Bruce Thornton, as you know, Butchie, really, really good. A very exciting freshman named John Mobley, who's had to get increased minutes now with Michi Johnson having stepped away from the program a few weeks ago. But when they're right, they're good enough to beat Kentucky. And they've had some other games where they just haven't been quite right, so you just don't know which one of those teams are going to show up on Tuesday. Well,
correct. I mean, you hit around that. You don't know who is. Now, I think, again, they survived a game in Minnesota. They gave one away. I would fully anticipate a team dialed in. And locked in. And, again, you talk about point guard play, Bruce Thornton, what he's able to do and how he's able to do. The question mark becomes, what do you get from your bigs? Mm-hmm. I mean, that is a group of bigs that have a bunch of talent but are very raw and rely on their athletic ability versus some skill work. Now, if you get them going and they're catching lobs and they're running and they're doing those sorts of things, you got your hands full. So, it's like you said, a team that has got some really good wins, some really questionable losses, and just you hope you run into a team that might not be playing as good.
Exactly. 8 o'clock will be the tip, our favorite tip time. 8 o'clock on Tuesday night. Our coverage will start at 7. Wisconsin a winner, 80-59 over Minnesota. Back to wrap it up in 1 minute. This is Badger Basketball from Learfield.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I want to share with you the experience of Donna in Washington. She writes, I got injured about 5 years ago. I was let go when, because of the injury, I couldn't keep up with my schedule. I've tried to find other work, but I'm 68 now. No one wants to hire someone that old. This week is tough, though, because I had to get my tooth fixed. So I only have $10 in my checking account. But it will be okay. I at least have food because of this pantry. Millions of people face hunger, some every day, just like Donna. The Feeding America network of food banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. Learn more at feedingamerica.org. Feeding America, 200 food banks strong.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
Wisconsin shoots 44% from the floor, nearly 58% in the second half, 39% from three. They end up 19-24 at the foul line. They made their first 17 shots. Got to the game. They were knocking them down. Very fitting to the best free throw shooting team in the country. Minnesota 38.5% from the field, 7-19 from three, 8-13 at the free throw line. Three Badgers in double figures. Stephen Crowell with 18. John Tanjay with 16. Kamari McGee with his high point total as a Badger in 15 points for Kamari here tonight, 3 of 4. From the three-point line, the one double-figure scorer for the Gophers was Dawson Garcia, ended up with a double-double, 22 points and 10 rebounds. Again, your final, Wisconsin 80, Minnesota 59. This broadcast is a copyrighted presentation of Badger Sports Properties, a property of Learfield, under the broadcasting rights granted by the University of Wisconsin. Rebroadcast or reuse of this presentation is prohibited without the express written consent of the University of Wisconsin and Badger Properties. The announcers are employed by the Badger Network with the approval of the University of Wisconsin. The general manager of Badger Sports Properties is Scott Silvestri. For Brian Butch, our engineer Dave McCann, and Easton D'Amelia back at our studio. This is Matt LePay. We hope you'll join us on Tuesday night when the Badgers host Ohio State. Thanks for listening. This is the Badger Sports Network from Learfield.
Badger Basketball has been brought to you by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison and Ho-Chunk Gaming Wisconsin Dells. Proud casino partners of Wisconsin Athletics. And by Fabic Rents. For all your equipment rental needs throughout Badgerland. The preceding has been a Learfield presentation of the Badger Sports Network.
As a professional in your field, have you ever wanted to give back to your community? CTE stands for Career and Technical Education. Career and Technical Educators are professionals who teach the next generation of students.
The Bucks are on the road. I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks are in Orlando tonight to take on the Magic. Then on Sunday in New York against the Knicks, Giannis Antetokounmpo leads the Eastern Conference with the highest average of points scored per game. Afterwards, you'll find Giannis every night sitting in front of his locker with ice bags on his knees and feet and a timer set for 20 minutes.
Except one. He's not going to be mad at me. Except one that Brooke took. I didn't like that one. But overall, I feel like we're playing good basketball. We're finding open guys. And when we do that, we're very, very, very hard to beat.
NFL, the Packers in Philly Sunday to take on the Eagles. So how do you stop running back Saquon Barkley, who has rushed for over 2,000 yards this season?
He does a great job with vision to get guys, peeking in gaps they're not supposed to be and exploit that. And when he does, get into, open space, he can make a guy miss and take it to the house.
That's Packers defensive lineman Kenny Clark. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. After meeting on the set of School of Rock over two decades ago, two students are tying the knot. When they were just 10 years old, Angelo Massagli, also referred to as Tough Guy in the film, and Caitlin Hale, a.k.a. Blondie, met while auditioning for the Jack Black film. The child actors connected again in 2018. By then, they had both left acting behind. Massagli is a lawyer, and Hale is now an OBGYN sonographer. The paths we take. Zombie and or Cillian Murphy fans might be upset to know that the actor will not appear in the film 28 years later. There was speculation Cillian's character Jim might be in the new installment when a preview dropped with a zombie that had striking similarities to Murphy. The Oscar-winning Oppenheimer star confirmed he is not in the new film, but is open to appearing in future 28-day films. This third installment is actually the first film in a new trilogy. 28 years later opens in June of this year. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Waba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a low in the low teens. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, snow developing by night, highs to the mid-20s. An inch or two of snow into Sunday. Temps fall out of the 20s and drop into the teens. And even colder for Monday and Tuesday. Right now, it's 20.
I'm Shanola Hampton. Every day, millions of people face hunger. Today, I will share with you some of their experiences. I'm stuck between paying for medications or paying for food. John from Maine. After paying my bills, I can buy groceries. It's sad to say, food comes last. Alice from Oregon. I thought pantries were for less fortunate people, but anybody could be less fortunate in a day or even a second. Claire from Virginia. The Feeding America Network of Food Banks helps provide over 6 billion meals to people in need each year. No one should have to worry where their next meal will come from. Together, we can end hunger. Learn more at feedingamerica.org.
Dom Salvia.
Next time, our favorite Delano Democrat Harvey K will join us. Are Republicans really planning $5 trillion in spending offsets to Medicare and the ACA to fund tax cuts for the rich? Tune in.
The Dom Salvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Aneen, I'm Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and you are listening to Native Roots Radio.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, we're here with our friend Robert Lilligren, President and CEO of Native American Community Development Institute here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. Great to have you on. A lot going on. Looking forward to what's happening with Native American Community Development Institute this year. What do we have cooking in the next year? And I know we have a lot of things happening in the gallery and just a lot of cool things. And we
there
always have
is, and we appreciate your support and the promotion of the current show at All My Relations Arts Gallery, Everyone Dances, how it's translated, curated by Josie Hoffman. That's closing soon by the end of this month. And so it's a great exhibit. If you haven't seen it, I'd really encourage you there to attend. And there's been a lot of community programming around this show, so there isn't going to be a huge sort of send-off as we close it. But again, I encourage you to come and see it. And then at the end, towards the end of February, we'll be debuting a show by artist Rory Wakeemup, who is a former All My Relations Arts Gallery director, and he is very much an activist artist, and especially around environmental issues. And this is a sort of Star Wars-based kind of work that has had a through line through his artist career for maybe the last decade or more. And that's going to be stunning, I'm sure.
Yeah, definitely, so, Roar. Definitely. That's really exciting to hear.
Right. And there's just a lot of stuff going on. You know, we take a little breather right towards the end of the year, but our Four Sisters Urban Farm is expanding both in its physical footprint, but also in its influence and activities. And we are really establishing a medicine garden down at our Four Sisters Urban Farm this year. It's a partnership with our county here, Hennepin County, and they're supporting it very generously, and I appreciate that. And they're letting sort of the native voices lead, and so that's going to be big. We're starting our entrepreneurial training for our Four Sisters Farmers Market vendors and beyond, and it's not just limited to native people, but if people want to go to the NACDI website or NACDI or Four Sisters Farmers Market Facebook page, there we'll accept people until it's full. Right. And so so that's going on as we prepare. And then in Minneapolis, we have municipal elections this year. There's a stretch where we have elections every year for 7 years. And I think we're now on the fourth year of that. And so although it's at a very different scale of than a national election, these local elections are important, right? And these are some of the decisions that impact our communities the most directly. And so putting strategies together and to engage Native folks and our allies in promoting our issues here at the municipal level. And as we know, local elections matter, right? Congratulations, Robert, as a Ramsey County resident, on having your first ever Native person serve on the Ramsey County Commission.
Yeah, that is just awesome.
Yeah, she was just sworn in, Commissioner Miller.
Kelly
Miller.
Kelly is good people, and it was great. And congratulations, that's huge.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of access. I was actually in communication with one of my Metropolitan Council colleagues. I serve on our regional government, the Metropolitan Council now. And she was asking why there's so much sort of going on with Native communities in Minneapolis and Hennepin County and through the Metropolitan Urban Indian Directors, and we're not seeing that in other communities. And some of that has to do with the access that we've had, right? And we have very formally defined relationships between local government and the local Native community here. And I'm very excited to see what Commissioner Kelly Miller in Ramsey County can do to promote sort of that kind of relationship building between Ramsey County government and our Ramsey County Native relatives.
Yeah, really exciting. And now what are you going to be up to? I know we jokingly talk about this, but we're getting up in that age and we need to find our people to take over for us. And I know you're in 16, 17 groups that are representing Native Americans, and you know, a big deal. It's really a big deal. And I know I'm involved with the Met Council, and I know you are really involved with the Met Council. And these are really good things that we normally aren't involved in.
Right. And so thanks for that. Thanks for your service. And I intend to put some energy toward trying to build out this new, whatever it'll be, collaborative unit of multi-jurisdictional government to support our unsheltered relatives and our relatives who are living in opioid use. And like I said earlier, a Native person is 37 times more likely to be unsheltered in our region than a white person. A Native person is 33 times more likely to die from an opioid overdose. And so when you see those disparate impacts, and to me, that's where you put your resources, right? You can make the most progress toward creating a more equitable region by putting your resources where the need is greatest and engaging the voices of those most impacted. And so following this meeting that I was talking about today, we're already working to put that together. And it's been a little disappointing to see how little progress we've actually made since the Wall of Forgotten Natives in 2018. And, you know, I give credit where credit's due. The city's trying to do its work. The counties are trying to do their work, the region and the state, and they're improving how they do things internally. But there just isn't the cross-jurisdictional collaboration that we need. And we need to step in. And my big point at this large multi-jurisdictional meeting on Tuesday was it's a leadership thing at this point. Leadership needs to step in and prioritize Native people. And as we said at this meeting, we just don't feel like we're important to anyone. Mm. And we're nobody's priority. And I think I might have got a little hot-headed and said something like, you know, this is the continuation of genocide. This is what genocidal strategies look like in the 21st century. Right? Our people are dying at frightening numbers because they're living without shelter and they're living without support through opioid use. And so we need to do things differently. And at this point, so few leadership in the non-Native world are willing to step into that conversation because it's going to cost us something to do it. And I make the argument that if we just better collaborated, combined, and leveraged the resources we're spending to respond to all this, and whether it's putting out fires in encampments or dealing with the issues of opioid addiction or others, if we just better collaborated and leveraged those resources, we'd actually be making measurable progress that we could see. But since each area is working independently, we're just burning resources off. It's kind of like talking about the investing in addressing climate change. Yes, yeah. It's expensive, but the cost is great. If you don't do it, it's kind of the same here. Yes, it's expensive, but the cost is great. And really, some incredible direction comes from the Native community. We've been engaging in a very formal way in creating strategies for short-term, mid-term, long-term solutions. And I think the whole system would benefit from listening to us.
Yeah, definitely. And Haley, you were talking about an article that came up, and I don't know if you wanted to mention that real quick, because that is really what Robert's talking about.
Yeah, this was really disappointing to see. Indigenous.tv is great about putting stuff out like this on Instagram. We were talking about the wildfires in California, and Fox News reporter Jesse Waters is blaming Indians, quote, for the spread of wildfires. And I'm assuming this, I've heard a lot about activists and Native communities out there breaking down the dams and freeing the rivers again on tribal lands and ancestral territory. And he pretty much is blaming the Indians, quote, for the lack of water resources needed to put out the wildfires.
Right, that indigenous food sources were prioritized. I've heard a couple different versions of this story as well. You know, that it was for, but it was the reservoirs were drained to allow for indigenous fishing and things like that. And that's not a fact, right? The reservoirs weren't drained for any reason. They were drained because firefighters were using so much water to combat the fires. And then people lower ground were taking water. And so people upper ground weren't getting it. It's really the failure of the system. But I agree with you, Haley. I saw that as well, that to see water stuff. And I just thought it was so disappointing. But we're easy targets, right? Blame the Indians.
Well, and that's what's really great about having guests like you that come on and speak the truth and knowledge and let our allies out there and our relatives out there really know what's going on. And it's kind of a pause here about how important the things that you say on Native Roots Radio gets out there. And it's really been a great 8 years and going on 9 years now. And, talking, if it was up to me and I was babbling by myself, this would not be going on for 9 years.
Yeah, I've been at a couple events just this week where people have said, oh, you're Robert Lilligren. As soon as I heard your voice, I recognized it from Native Roots Radio. I bet I had four events where I was at where people recognized me from here. And that they actually listened. So sometimes it's hard to tell if we're attracting any listeners or not, but people are listening, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate you guys and Robert and Haley, what you've done. This is no small task to be able to bring something like this together. And you really do a huge service for the community. You're everywhere in the community. You're really lifting up a lot of good work, and I give you a lot of credit for that.
Well, I appreciate it, and ditto to you. And we'll keep doing this. And thank you so much, Robert, for coming on always. And really, it means a lot to us and to our listeners, because we hear, too, about people listening and how great the guests are. So, good, big peeny gigi. We'll see you next week.
Miigwech, gigawaba, man.
This is Native Roots Radio, and we'll be right back.
A home that needs new everything, plus the kitchen sink. Life math is complicated. Affinity Plus makes it easier. With great rates on a home equity line of credit, we make tackling home projects less stressful. Visit affinityplus.org/rates to learn more today. Affinity Plus Federal Credit Union. Insured by NCUA. Equal housing lender.
J&S Bean Factory is a Native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
Turn to Auto Technical with your vehicle donation. Even though Auto Technical is a small nonprofit, we have helped more families with transportation than any organization in Minnesota. Since 1994, we have reconditioned donated vehicles so they have a higher tax benefit. Call Richard at 612-919-5526. 612-919-5526. Or autotech.org.
Hi, this is Frank Brown of Minuteman Press Uptown with a question for our local small businesses. Do you want more leads, more store traffic, more customers? Thousands of local businesses, just like yours, count on Minuteman Uptown to drive sales. We make your business stand out and show out. We print everything from signage, promotions, and direct marketing. We connect you to the community. Choose Minuteman Uptown because we share your values, and we are a proud union shop. Contact us today at mpuptown.com.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations. Howl!
Good howl there, Wendy. Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy's been an animal advocate for many, many years, since she was a little wee little baby. And she is a founder of Native Roots Radio. And also, I just want to wish you a happy ninth season.
Yeah, thank you. Hey, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani. That means cares for them. And I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajingo, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level. And so it was my pleasure to do that. You know, I've been watching on social media really horrific videos of the wildfires in Los Angeles right now in California. I want to give a shout out to the animal shelters out there. There's a couple of them who were able to take in animals and help people who had to flee, and for whatever reason, they couldn't take their pet. So they're like, you know, hanging on to their pets. One in Palisades took over 100 animals. And so I just want to give them a shout out for that amazing, really, work. I mean, that's something else. You know, I saw a video of a man outside of his home that was literally like burning down, and the firefighters were there. Some of the firefighters were on the roof. Some of them were in the house. So it's just trying to, I don't know why they just don't let the house, I don't know. I mean, the house was just burning down, but the guy was crying because his cat was in the house.
Oh, come on.
Oh, man.
Firefighter went in and got the cat.
Oh,
and there's video of the firefighter handing the cat to the guy, and the guy is just sobbing, you know, just so happy, like literally fell to his knees and was sobbing that he had his cat with him, and the cat was okay. But you know, the fire and the flames, and you could just see the wind and all the ash and embers just flying around, and it's just unbelievable. Like, my heart goes out to these people. And there was another video too of these two people, a man and woman, and they were walking down the road with their horses. Did you see that? And the wind was blowing, and
it
was the embers
cloudy.
And
I'd
it
like
was...
to know what time of day that was. It looked like night. So
and
bad.
They were with their horses and just, you know, taking care of their animals and making sure. I mean, horses, you have to either have, you know, one of those big trailers for. I mean, these are animals that are like 1,000 pounds. Like, what do you do with it? It's not like a, like our little Wanda, we just scoop her up in our arms and take her with you. You know, these are animals that are thousands of pounds. And
Miley Cyrus, when she was in living in California a few years ago before the pandemic, and she lost all of her horses in a wildfire.
How heartbreaking. Could you imagine just feeling so hopeless and helpless?
You
can't help those animals. It's just, it's really horrific. So I just want to give everyone, you know,
shout out
and... if you can, take your animals with you. Don't, you know, leave them behind. And, you know, of course, there's footage of, you know, deer running and, you know, wildlife running. A lot of the stuff that I read Said the animals will just flee and run. Of course, some of them will get hurt and perish. But then what happens is they run from the wildfires and they run into areas where it's populated and people are, so then they run into problems with that, so
exactly.
It's just,
it's climate change. I mean, those 100-mile-an-hour winds, what the heck?
Santa Ana winds, yeah. That's just fueling the fire and just literally fueling this fire that's just burning. And tomorrow, they say today and tomorrow, the winds are supposed to pick up and it's even supposed to get worse. So you'll have to watch more tonight about it. But yeah, just hope all these animals and the people, it's just, it's just horrible. Well, we've come to the year's end. 2024 is gone. It's
our eighth season, and now we're in our ninth season.
Wow, that's amazing.
I was a young man when we started this.
Yeah. That's amazing. I can't believe it's been that long. It's good. You're pretty popular, you guys.
Oh, Wendy, you were one of the founders.
Yeah, wow.
Remember that? Uncle Curtis.
Uncle Dega Curtis.
Dega Curtis, who named me Hanaji Hihani.
He would do a prayer before every show.
Yeah. He would smudge.
And then he had a segment, too.
Yeah. Those are the good old days, you know. Those are the good old days. We used to go to Eden Prairie into the studio.
The basement.
Yeah.
Yeah, pre-pandemic.
Yeah. It's amazing how life has changed since the pandemic. But every year I talk about, of course, the Humane Society of the United States, and every Humane Society Legislative Fund, which is Humane Society of the United States, they come out with what is called the Humane Scorecard.
Yeah, that's always handy.
Yeah, if people want to go on, it's the 2024 Humane Scorecard, and you could go on and see how your representatives and legislated voted on animal issues.
Yeah.
I took a quick peek. Betty McCollum is 100%. Like, she is like a champion for all animal issues, and we really need her on our side.
And a big Native, proponent, which really is awesome to hear, too.
Yeah, she's awesome. And anytime we call her office or ask her to sign off on humane legislation, she always does. And she's really good. You could see when you open up the scorecard, you could look at your state and see who voted for the animals and who voted against the animals. And it's really something else to just watch and look at, because you could see the people who didn't vote for any animal legislation are mostly all Republicans. And it's really sad. Yeah. Except there's one guy in Pennsylvania who's a really good champion for animals, who is a Republican. All the rest are just, terrible. I hate to even ask this, because I'm going to say this to everybody. I was always a news snob. Like, I was always up on the news, watching the news, reading the paper. I opened up the New York Times, the Washington Post every morning, see what was going on. Knew what was going on in our Minnesota House and legislator, and I've been, since the election, I've been like hiding under a rock, really. not knowing anything. So I know, like, our government in Minnesota is might lose our trifecta, right? So we've lost it.
And then we're a tie in the Senate now because of the passing of one of senators.
Yeah.
And then it's up in the air because there was a Democrat that didn't live in the district that they have to redo that election. And it's a matter of when. But right now, it's not even, because it was even. And they were going to share all the chairperson's roles. But now the Republicans don't want to do that because this person, now they have the advantage.
Yeah.
So right now it's tied. You have the governor who can, veto bad bills, and then the legislative part is up in the air, really. Right now,
every year we go for Humane Lobby Day, and even before Humane Lobby Day, and you know, we go and we talk to our people. I think Minnesota Wolves are going to be in trouble this year.
Oh.
Yeah, just because of...
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Maggie Dawn.
Why should you care that the North Carolina Supreme Court just stopped the election and seating of a liberal justice to the North Carolina Supreme Court? We discuss next at 2 p.m.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Hi, I'm Connie Britton, and I want to share with you the experience of Donna in Washington. She writes, I got injured about 5 years ago. I was let go when, because of the injury, I couldn't keep up with my schedule. I've tried to find other work, but I'm 68 now. No one wants to hire someone that old. This week is tough, though, because I had to get my tooth fixed. So I only have $10 in my checking account. But it will be okay. I at least have food because of this pantry. Millions of people face hunger. Some every day, just like...
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. We are a month away from the Super Bowl 49. It's being hosted by New Orleans, scene of the deadly truck attack New Year's Day.
Two spy agencies now believe it's...
We've been planning for this for 2 years. We're ready.
New Orleans Homeland Security Director Colin Arnold, Police Superintendent Ann Kirkpatrick says about 100,000 visitors are expected. A dusk to dawn curfew is going into effect in areas of Los Angeles where residents have been ordered to evacuate because of the continuing wildfires. At least 11 deaths are attributed to the blazes and 12,000 houses and other structures burned. Facebook, Instagram, and Threads parent Meta, the latest corporate entity to effective immediately kill its major diversity, equity, and inclusion programs, DEI. This is ABC News.
I'm James.